Well, as I mentioned, I was at camp this week. I was over at Lake Ponset for a high school camp known as Leadership Training Camp. And if you haven't ever counseled a church camp, let me tell you, it's not very conducive for actual sermon writing. The hours that it takes to put in to research the scripture and get that done just doesn't happen when you're going from 6 in the morning till midnight. But as I was thinking about the scripture for this week, as I was thinking about this passage from Colossians and how Paul is talking about Christ already has done the work. Christ is sufficient for all of our sins. Christ can save us if we are just willing to be led. I got to thinking as I watched the youth go through this week that, yeah, with all of the baggage, all of the struggle that they brought to camp, Christ is enough. And so if you will humor me this morning, I'd like to share a little bit of what I saw and experienced at camp this week. We had a large group speaker brought in. Max, you'll be happy to know he was Lutheran. Lutherans are all right. The gentleman's name was Andrew Root. He's based out of the Twin Cities, and he's amazing for youth ministry. So he's a good resource. Andrew led our youth through talking about, we discussed all stories from the Old Testament, and you may think, well, then how did we get to Christ? Because Christ doesn't technically show up in the Old Testament. But here's what we learned about. We started with the story of Abraham and Sarah and God's promise to them that they would bear a son, the child of promise. But they were old. Sarah was barren. Abraham was still living in his father's house. He owned no land. And yet God tells him, you're going to be a father of nations. This land will be yours. Your name will be great. And like many of us who tend to be a bit on the cynical side, Abraham laughed. How often when we're presented with what seems like an impossible task, do we laugh? This great thing is going to happen. Yeah, right. Abraham laughed. But we learned this week that our God takes the impossible and makes it possible. God saw Abraham and Sarah in their barrenness. In that point, that one part, especially of Sarah's life, where shame was upon her because she was empty. And we looked at what it means in our lives. What areas in our lives are barren, dry, forsaken. And we started to begin to ask ourselves, what would it mean for God to come into that emptiness? What would it mean for God to fill that barrenness and make it full and lush and alive? As we continued to work on in our stories, we then got to the story of the slave girl who bore the first child of Abraham. A girl who doesn't even have a name in Scripture until things get so bad for her with Abraham and Sarah. Sarah is so jealous that she's pregnant, that she's going to bear the child, that she's the fertile one, and Sarah is still barren. Sarah gets so nasty and horrible to the slave girl that the slave girl runs away. But when you are a slave with no money, no means to care for yourself, and you run away into the desert, pregnant and alone, you aren't looking to escape. That's a suicide mission. And there she was in that wilderness, in her fears, in her aloneness, in her desperation, at the end of her rope. And for the first time in Scripture, we get her name. God says, Hagar, what are you doing? When we are at the end of our ropes, when we are lost and alone and desperate and scared, God calls us by name. God sees us, sees our pain, knows our suffering, and is with us in those darkest of moments. We continued to move on in our stories, in our scripture, and we got, through the birth of Isaac and then the almost sacrifice of Isaac and then on to Isaac's children, the twins, Esau and Jacob. Esau, the firstborn, the strong one, the ruddy one, the hairy one, who was to get the birthright, the blessing of the father. And Jacob, whose name means heel, because he was born holding on to his twin's heel. But what else does heel mean? Cad, jerk, cheat, trickster. That was Jacob. And he eventually tricked his brother and his father into Jacob getting the blessing, Jacob getting the birthright. And his twin was a little torqued off at him. And Jacob ran away. But years later, he has to come back. He has to face up to what he has done. And he gets closer and he hears that his brother and his whole army of men are coming. And Jacob freaks out a little bit because he's still kind of a con man and a cheat and a trickster. And he knew that he is probably not going to be welcomed with open arms. Matter of fact, he's pretty sure his brother's coming to kill him. So he sends some livestock up ahead and says, "Here is a peace offering." Gets word that his brother and his men are still coming. So Jacob, the cad, the heel, sends his wife and his children on up ahead. If that won't slow him down, well, maybe he'll kill them instead of me. So, there you go. And Jacob spends the night on the far side of the river. And it's not a peaceful night. Jacob is restless. And someone comes wandering by, and Jacob, still desperate for acceptance, still desperate for love, asks this stranger, "Bless me, give me a blessing." The stranger says no, and they begin to wrestle, to physically wrestle by the river. And they wrestle and they wrestle, and Jacob keeps saying, "Give me a blessing, just bless me and I'll let you go." And the stranger says, "Nope." And they wrestle so long and so hard that Jacob's hip is put out of place. And still he won't give up. "Bless me." And as morning comes, Jacob discovers that this is an angel of the Lord. And Jacob is given a new name. He's no longer the heel. He is Israel. And we talked about, what does it mean to wrestle with God? What does it mean to wrestle with those things in our lives that are tearing us apart? Now, this was Wednesday of the week. And each night the kids lead a worship service based on our scripture of the day. We don't tell them what to preach on. We don't tell them. We just give them a Bible verse and say, "Here, you build a worship service." And these 16, 17, 18-year-old kids stood up in chapel that night, and about a handful of them began to share what they wrestle with. And we heard stories of being beat up by their dad. We had a 17-year-old girl stand up and for the first time say out loud to her peers that she was raped and that her rapist had never been found. We had a young man stand up. And the only person in the room who knew his story was his girlfriend, and he stood up and he admitted to his friends that he had been using drugs for 2 years. That he had gone through a time where he tried to get into recovery, but then he relapsed again. But that now he's clean and he hopes to stay clean. And we heard stories of a brother killed because he was driving drunk. These kids are wrestling. We are all wrestling. There are all parts of our lives that we are wrestling with God. Why God? Why now? Why me? We all wrestle. But there is a blessing waiting on the other side of that wrestling. And that's what those kids were beginning to see. One of the girl who was a rape survivor said that it was her hope that by sharing her story, she could begin to reclaim her power. She was finding her voice again. She was getting stronger every day. There is a blessing on the other side of wrestling. Thursday, we talked about Moses at the burning bush. Moses, the outsider, who didn't quite fit in with the Egyptians that he was raised with, who didn't quite fit in with the Hebrews. Moses, the murderer, who ran away. Moses, the stutterer, who was asked to speak to the most powerful man in the world. And we began to look at what makes us outsiders and misfits. What makes us feel like we aren't quite good enough. And we began to understand that even though we may feel that way, God calls to us. That God can make our weaknesses strengths. And then Friday we got to the kids' favorite zombie story of the Bible. Ezekiel in the Valley of the Dry Bones. Ezekiel walks into this immense valley and he sees bones, human bones. Not corpses, because there's no flesh left on them. These bones are so dry, they are bleached by the sun. And God says to Ezekiel, do you think those bones can live? And Ezekiel, not wanting to, you know, upset the Almighty, is like, well, I don't know. Only you know that, God. And God says, tell him to live. So Ezekiel begins to speak to the bones, these dry bones. The Lord God says, live. And tendons and muscles and flesh begin to form. And then the Spirit of God comes through the valley and the breath of life comes into these dry bones. And an army is raised up for the Israel people who are in exile. God has brought to life what was totally barren and dead. That God's Spirit brings new life even to those things that are so dead, so far beyond hope, that they were just left in a heap. God brings us new life. God brings new life out of death. That's what God did with Jesus at the cross. What was dead is now alive. God's Spirit brings us back to life. No matter how barren, no matter how alone, no matter how scared, no matter how small and insignificant we may feel, God says, you are mine, I am yours, and I give you new life. And let me tell you, the Spirit was breathing this week at camp. We tend to sing some of the same songs over and over again. And at the beginning of the week, some of the kids know the song, some of them may not. But by the end of the week, we know them. And I want to share with you just a little bit of a couple of the songs that we sang. Because when I heard these kids sing these songs Friday and Saturday, let me tell you, you can hear the difference when somebody doesn't believe the words of a song and when someone is singing from their heart. The first song says, you unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies. Till all my fears have gone, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into a family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me, and I stand and sing, for I am a child of God. The other song says, I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. You say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak. And you say I am held when I am falling short. And when I don't belong, oh, you say I am yours. And I believe. Yes, I believe. What you say of me, I believe. When I saw those kids sing that song yesterday morning, these kids who have been through so much more than their young years should have brought them through, and I heard them say with such joy, I am a child of God, and what you say of me, God, I believe. Friends, new life is possible because I saw it this week. Those kids who came in so broken, so scared, so alone, left a family. God did it for them. God can do it for us. And that's the power of the witness of camp. But even more so, that is the power of Christ. And so, like our reading from Colossians in the Message said, just live it. You've been taught it. You know it. Get out there and live it. Because the power of love is greater than any other power in this world. Christ is enough. Amen.